4.
That's her.
Got to be. Howie Gold and Alec Pelley were standing outside the building where Howie kept his offices. Howie was pointing to a slim woman in a gray business suit and white blouse trotting up the sidewalk, a big tote bag banging against one slim hip. Her hair was cut close to her small face, with graying bangs that stopped just short of her eyebrows. There was a touch of fading lipstick on her mouth, but she wore no other makeup. The sun was sinking, but what remained of the day was still hot, and a trickle of sweat ran down one of her cheeks.
"Ms. Gibney," Howie asked, stepping forward.
"Yes," she panted. "Am I late?"
2 minutes early, actually," Alec said. "May I take your bag? It looks heavy."
"I'm fine," she said, looking from the stocky, balding lawyer to the investigator who had hired her. Pelley was at least 6 inches taller than his boss, with graying hair combed straight back, tonight dressed in tan slacks and a white shirt open at the neck. "Are the others here?"
"Most," Alec said. "Detective Anderson. Ah, speak of the devil."
Holly turned and saw 3 people approaching. One was a woman, holding the remains of her youthful good looks quite well into her middle age, although the circles under her eyes, only partially concealed by foundation and a bit of powder, suggested she might not have been sleeping well lately. To her left was a skinny, nervous-looking man with a cowlick coming loose from the back of his otherwise rigidly controlled hair. And on her right, Detective Anderson was a tall man, with sloping shoulders and the beginnings of what would probably become a paunch if he didn't start exercising more and watching what he ate. His head was slightly thrust forward, his eyes bright blue, taking her in from top to bottom and stem to stern. It wasn't Bill. Of course it wasn't. Bill was 2 years dead and never coming back. Also, this man was much younger than Bill had been when Holly first met him. It was the eager curiosity in his face that was the same. He was holding the woman's hand, which suggested she was Mrs. Anderson. Interesting that she should have come with him. There were introductions all around. The slender man with the cowlick, it turned out, was Flint County District Attorney William, please call me Bill, Samuels.
"Let's go upstairs and get out of this heat," Howie said.
Mrs. Anderson, Jeanette, asked Holly if she had had a good flight, and Holly made the appropriate response. Then she turned to Howie and asked if there was perhaps audio-visual capability in the room they would be using. He told her there certainly was, and she was welcome to use it if she had material to present. When they stepped out of the elevator, Holly inquired about the women's room.
"I could use a minute or two. I came directly from the airport."
"Absolutely. End of the hall, turn left, should be unlocked."
Holly was afraid Mrs. Anderson would volunteer to go with her, but Jeanette didn't, which was good. Holly did have to pee, spend a penny, was how her mother always put it, but she had something more important in mind, a matter that could only be attended to in complete private. In the stall, with her skirt up and her bag between her sensible loafers, she closed her eyes. Mindful that tiled rooms like this were natural amplifiers, she prayed silently.
"This is Holly Gibney again, and I need help. You know I'm not good with strangers, even one at a time, and tonight I have 6 of them to deal with. 7, if Mr. Maitland's widow is here. I'm not terrified, but I'd be lying if I didn't say I was scared. Bill could do things like this, but I'm not him. Just help me to do it the way he would. Help me to understand their natural disbelief and not be afraid of it." She finished aloud, but in a whisper, "Please God, help me not to frack up." She paused, then added, "I'm not smoking,